ready for some real wedding talk? Welcome to the Isle Podcast, run by the ladies of BTS Event Management, a luxury wedding planning and design company. We vow to be true and uncut, so you'll get all the expert knowledge on all the crazy topics that you might walk into while planning your big day. We work with some of the who's who for their weddings. Professional athletes, top influencers, celebrities, and politicians all come to us for their wedding planning and design. And we're here to share all the nitty-gritty details with you. So grab your mom, your best friend, or your groom-to-be, and let us walk with you down the aisle for this crazy wedding planning journey.
Welcome back to the aisle for episode 12. And as I'm welcoming you back, I have to tell you a very, very happy new year. I'm so excited for this year. And I don't always say that. It's like not like a normal thing for me, but I really genuinely feel some great energy coming on from this year. I think that this is going to be a year for growth and building. And I feel like we've all kind of like just in life in general, gone through these last few crazy, strange, weird years where things kind of didn't really make sense. And we were all like relearning life. And I feel like we've been kind of going through a lot of like lessons and learning period. And I feel like now we're going to be finally moving into an era where we're growing. So we're taking all of those lessons, we're building on them. And I really think this is going to be great. So for this particular episode, I'm going to focus this on setting goals and sharing with you all the process that I actually use in order to make sure that I achieve my goals. So to me, this is much more than just writing down, you know, some things I want to improve on. To me, this is kind of just a new start for a calendar year to map out what do I want to accomplish during these next 12 months and how am I going to accomplish them. So I'm going to share this process with you a little bit later on in the episode. First, we're going to start off just kind of a personal life recap. The last 2 weeks I have taken off from work and I've never been able to do this in my entire adult life. And it feels really good. I feel a lot of clarity. I feel like I was able to really kind of focus on jumpstarting this new year and what I want it to look like. Usually during this time, Christmas will hit, I'll take a day or two off, and then I have to rush right back into the office because we usually have something on New Year's Eve. So some kind of a party or wedding or there's something that's going on maybe the first week of January, and this is the first time in a really, really, really long time where that's not been the case. And it feels good to have these 2 weeks to reset and clean and focus and spend time with my family and create a ton of memories, and it's been really, really cool. So the day after Christmas, we spent Christmas at home, and the day after Christmas, we all loaded up and headed to a cabin in Pine Top, which was amazing. So we had about a week up there, which really focused on the outdoors, spending time with family, doing like some really fun stuff, like tablets down, phones down, computers away, like let's really kind of build these memories out. And one thing that we did every night was we watched a new Harry Potter movie. So most of us in the house have never seen it, which is weird because I'm such a huge, like, I don't know, Twilight fan and Avatar. And I just love those kind of movies that are like a little fantasy kind of cool series. And this one I did not see, but I am up to, I think, the sixth movie right now. So that's a really cool thing that we did. We did a lot of hiking, a lot of like just neat stuff. The area that we were in actually didn't get a lot of snow or any snow. So we were kind of bummed about that, but it was for the best because most of us were sick anyways. So we didn't really probably need to be rolling around in snow. So it all worked out really well. We came back home for New Year's. We celebrated at home by doing really not much of anything, but letting the ball drop and then having some cool conversations as far as what this next year looks like. We went to bed shortly after midnight, and then me and CJ headed up to LA for the Rose Bowl. So he actually went to Michigan, huge Michigan fan. We went last year to the Fiesta Bowl when they played and they got smacked out, and it was kind of not a great game, but this one was really, really good. It was a cool experience. So we stayed up there for the night, went to Tao for dinner, which I am obsessed with. And then we came back the next day. So that's about all I have for you for a personal recap. As far as BTS goes, most of the girls from the office have been out of town over this break. So I'm sure they've been spending a lot of great time with family and friends. I've been focused a lot on kind of creating some new things. I know I just got done saying I wasn't working, but to me, like without taking meetings and being like addicted to email and stuff like that, I kind of actually like these projects. So I've been creating some digital downloads, working on the Save the Date templates, which if you guys don't already know, we rolled out our first line of Save the Date designs. So you can essentially get Save the Dates that we create for our brides, but you can get just the template of them on Etsy and then send them into print yourself. And it is a very, very, very inexpensive way to get a very, very well-designed product. There's not really anything on the market like it. And I am so excited to be able to share that. I'm also starting an online wedding planning course. There's a couple of people in the industry that have done this, but not as much as you would expect and not as much as people do in other industries. So I'm really excited to kind of jump on board with this project because I feel like my story is different. You know, it's really different. It's really unique. And I'm excited to share the ways that I did things, the ways that I kind of paved a way for. And I hope it really helps a lot of people because I could have really used something like this when I was getting started. But being as I got started in the prehistoric days, there really weren't a lot of online classes. There was a people weren't as heavy online, you know, 13 years ago. So very, very excited there. Okay, now we're going to get into our expert segment of this episode. So focusing on goals, goals are great. Goals are amazing. Setting new intentions at the beginning of a new year is incredible, but nothing happens unless something happens. And that's the part that sometimes a lot of people forget to do the work on is how are you going to get to these goals? How are they going to be achieved? And this is really great advice for a lot of my industry and vendor partners, but really honestly for all the brides and everybody else listening too, you know, now that you're engaged and you're going to have a lot more to do this year. So there's a lot of wedding tasks. There's a lot of things that need to be completed. And if you kind of follow these steps, it's going to help out a ton because it doesn't allow for procrastination. You know, you're going to have to tackle things each month of the year. And this way you can avoid a lot of stress by letting these things kind of pile up. So here is what I recommend. Like I've mentioned, I'm 30 or I'll be 38 or maybe 39 this year. Oof, I don't know. I was born in 85. So 39, shit. Okay, so I will be 39 this coming year. I'm naturally a pen and paper kind of gal. I love to just, you know, take out a piece of paper, a notebook, start writing things down. The problem with this is that when you solely rely on this, you close that up and you never see it again. Or you want to work on it, but you left it at home or in your other purse or whatever it might be. So I really highly recommend doing this digitally on your phone, laptop, or iPad. And I don't use any specific like type of program to do this. I really honestly put everything in the notes section. This is for iPhone users. We have like this little, I'm sure everybody has some kind of app on their phone where it's just like a notepad and you could just jot things down. So I keep pretty much everything my entire life in my notes section. And it's like the simplest thing you could ever do. It's nothing extra needed. So the first thing that I do is write down just freestyle, like all of the things I want to accomplish. Personal goals, professional goals, I just start freestyle writing them and typing them out. Once I'm done with my list, then I'll go back through, make any edits needed, like maybe section into personal and professional. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you don't. Maybe some of them you're going to delete. Maybe some of them you're going to expand on. Whatever it is, I just really encourage everyone to just get it out first and then go back through and kind of fine tune it. After you're done with that, then you're going to want to put the list or lists into an order of importance. Like, how heavy is this going to weigh on your life? How important is it? How detrimental is it that you get it in motion? Basically, all of those things are going to be something that you want to focus on when you're making a list, you know, top being something that's top priority, bottom being something, hey, this is cool and important, but I got to get through these other things first. So you're going to do that. After that part is done, then underneath each goal, you're going to write out some basic steps that you're going to need to do in order to do them. Like, for instance, on one of my personal goals, I want to start taking ballet classes. I did ballet until I was in adolescence. I did ballet most of my life as I was younger, and then obviously haven't done it since. And I love ballet as an art, as a, just a way of life, as a way to move. It's just graceful. It's elegant. It's feminine. And I'm just obsessed with it. So I really want to take a ballet class. So if I was going to have that on my list of things to do, one of the first things I'd have to do is research ballet studios and then figure out the class schedule, look at my schedule, figure out what's going to work, so on and so forth. So those would be the main initial things I would do. So as an example, under each goal that you have, you're going to write out the basic steps on what needs to happen in order for this to happen. After you're done with all of that, then you're going to need to put this in some kind of a time, like a timeline, like what happens when. So for me, when I'm not organizing the time frames, I do first part of the year, summertime, end of the year. That's just what works for me. That's how I like to separate things. A lot of normal people, people whose brains work the exact opposite of mine, would use time frames like Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. I just feel like it sounds kind of corporate and I don't like to do that. I like to be very organized, but I like to be a very fluidly, maybe even like unorganized kind of person. I like a lot of things to be organized, but I don't like a shit ton of structure. So no offense to like the Q1, Q2 people, but to me, it just feels kind of stuffy. So I'm not going to look at a list that's mapped out like that, because I'm going to associate it with work and I'm going to be like, running in the other direction for that part of it. But whatever you need to do, just organize it. You can even just, you know, list out the months, but just have some type of time chart for this. And then you're going to take each task or each goal along with the list of tasks, and you're going to see which tasks need to happen during what time frame. Like for me, if I'm really serious about doing a ballet class, I need to have my research done on the ballet classes, and I need to have a class that I'm committed to within the first month of this year. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, if this is a goal for the year, then I'm going to need some time to like figure this out and get my skills back together and become great at it. And so you'll do that with each goal that you have, is you'll take those tasks and you'll put them into the time categories that you have so that you know what all needs to happen in the beginning. Now, be easy on yourself and be mindful in the sense that everything has a starting point, you know? So you don't want to have a ton of stuff crammed into that first month of the year, because that's unrealistic. So that's also why things are listed in an order of importance. So for me, this ballet class is super important. And a little bit further down on the list is I have a goal to start drinking a lot of like natural teas. And I want to do a lot of research on like what is what and where do I get things that are actually really, truly natural and not just processed and like fake from, you know, Fry's or Safeway. Maybe they do have good stuff. I don't know. But it's just something I want to do a lot of research in. It's not a huge priority for me, so I'm probably not going to jam pack that into month one. I'm probably going to do it into month two or three. So you can definitely input your starting times in different months. Your starting time doesn't always have to be January. So just understand your own schedule and what's realistic as far as what you can commit to pulling in, and organize that effectively. For my ballet classes, I've also have mapped out that, you know, to attend a few classes. And once I'm actually in the habit and attending them, then I would love to reward myself with some really cute outfits for ballet. It's something that I enjoy and a nice reward for kind of sticking to it. So that would be kind of like middle of my year that I would input that. And then after that is to really just strengthen my skill set in that area. So those are the biggest tasks that I have that I'm separating throughout the year. So that's kind of the model that you want to utilize for this. So a list of importance and then a list of things that you need to do that, and then a time frame so that you can input this all in. It makes a really cool kind of grid, nice and easy to use for you. So again, I told you that when I'm creating a list like this, I like to do it in the notes section. So I don't really have a lot of ability to kind of change colors, but you could color code all of the tasks. So then that way you can see them built out through the year and you can kind of see where they funnel to. So just kind of like a little tip and trick, just depending on where you're doing this in, you may want to add in some kind of like color coding. But yeah, this is just kind of the way that I like to structure everything out as far as my own support process for my goals. I really want to assign like specific due dates to each one. So of course I have it broken up into like that beginning part of the year, summertime, and then end of the year. But a lot of times with certain things, I like to give myself actually specific deadlines, like start a ballet class by 2/1, you know, of this year. So that's kind of a thing that I like to do just because it kind of holds me more accountable and it allows me to hold myself to like a certain standard. And obviously, I'm not going to look at my goals sheet on February 5th and have not started a ballet class because that would be a huge disappointment to myself. And I am just so serious about how important my own happiness and my own needs are that I'm not going to let me down. You know, that's the last person I'm going to let down. Well, I'm not going to let anybody down, but I'm really not going to let me down. You know, that's something that I take a lot of pride in, is just sticking to things that I want to do. So depending on where you're at in your goal process, you know, you can jump in at any of these stages and just kind of take my way of doing things and adapt it to your own. A couple of other tips that I want to give you that help me is like some of these things, there's clear sets of like steps that you need to take in order to achieve success, but there's also going to be like some behavioral changes that need. So it's okay to add in a little details in there that help you change behavioral patterns. So whether or not it's like setting the alarm clock for earlier than what you usually do because you want to put da 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 whatever it is in there, you know, it's a lot of behavioral things too. So don't neglect those behavior changes that need to change in order to kind of cross off the tasks that are going to get you there. Keep in mind that the bigger the goal is, the more challenging and overwhelming it's going to feel to take it on. So if you have a really big goal that you want to complete within this year, make sure that you're really breaking those steps down into very small, digestible tasks that are going to be easy for you to do, because nobody wants to look at something that looks overwhelming. But it's super easy for us to look at a lot of little small pieces that are organized to get to that thing. So just keep that in mind. The bigger the goal is, the more you may need to break it down just to really make sure you're taking those steps to get there. And the more steps that you kind of cross off, the more you're going to really feel confident in tackling more. And then, you know, it's like a big spin cycle. So it'll really help you out. If there is a time that you kind of slip up on some of the goals, don't be hard on yourself. You know, we're all human. We're all able to kind of make mistakes at times. So just make sure that you're just redirecting your timeline. You know, don't give up on it and don't just totally throw it to the wolves. Just redirect your timeline and get back started again. So those are some things that I always kind of like adapt within myself to really help out with everything that is needed in order to succeed. So please feel free to shoot me over some DMs on Instagram about this, because you may have some questions, or we can even do like some kind of accountability system, or kind of really grow this into something that, you know, each helps us all out, because it's important to grow and change and move every year. So that's the biggest part of this episode. Let's head on over to questions from a DM. So one thing I actually got a couple of times over this break is a similar kind of version of this one that I'm going to share. I'm newly engaged and I don't think I can afford a wedding planner. Where do I even start? So let me just kind of break this down for you a little bit. For one, you may be able to afford a day of coordinator. You just never know. It could happen. So the most important thing is to just understand what your actual spend is. Do some research really on where you want to get married. And then you want to kind of create some kind of a budget that breaks down the overall spend that you have. Like, let's say you want to start with, you know, 20 grand and you found a venue where food and beverage and things are coming in at like a 10,000, then you have the rest of the money you're going to want to break up into some type of decor, some photography, hair and makeup, and, you know, just kind of break down those numbers and see what works and stick to those numbers throughout the process. You're going to want to kind of look at your guest list and see, you know, which people you want to be picky with this. You know, of course, you want a lot of people there to celebrate this time with you. It's so important. But also at the same time, you don't want to end up having to take out a loan or something just to make sure that these extra people are coming. So revise your guest count if needed. And then next steps after that are to little things that we do are like set up wedding website, get save the dates out, make sure there's a room block in place, set up any transportation needs. And then we
get into some of your design. So creating your floor plans, some design ideas, and then we finish your wedding day schedule. And then we meet with all of your vendors, and then it's time for the wedding day. So biggest things to do are just start with that budget, that venue research, and then get your vendors locked in, start on your design, and then focus on your wedding day schedule. And if you follow those big pillars, of course, I'm not breaking this down into so many details, but if you follow those big pillars, the rest of it is easy to kind of fill in. All right. Well, thank you so much for walking down the aisle with us. Join us here every other Tuesday as we talk more about everything weddings. If you want to hear more, be sure to tune into Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play to subscribe to The Aisle. If you can, pretty please give us a 5-star rating and a nice positive review. This really helps us kind of get our word out to people, and it helps with all of like the algorithms and stats and everything. So then that way I'm able to get some wedding planning knowledge out to more and more people in the world. Thank you so much for your love and support. I am signing off now, and we'll talk to you later.